Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Hello, church. How are we tonight? Welcome, everybody. Congratulations, everyone, on getting registered tonight. You have four for the price of one tonight. Guaranteed, it's an exclusive deal tonight only, but congratulations on being here. Now, I'd like to, before we get started, just on behalf of all four of us, honour Pastor Brad and Ali for giving us the opportunity to speak. We love our senior pastors. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We're going to share some stories. It's going to be really deep. It's going to be awesome. Who's ready for the word tonight? So good. Okay, so we're going to be reading from, who's our note takers in the building? Give me a wave with what devices or notebooks you have. Double portion, double portion, double portion. Sounds good. All right, so we're going to be preaching from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 in the TPT. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go." God, we just pray for the word tonight. We pray that you would speak powerfully to your people, that you would use us as vessels, God. Lord, I pray that this would be a general word, but it speaks specifically to the hearts of every single person here, God. I pray that there would be a shift tonight, a change of behavior tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So good. Well, we're going to be doing 4 points tonight, 1 point per preacher. Does that sound good? And if you're taking notes, my point is, point number one, Jesus, take the wheel. Anyone familiar with the Kelly Clarkson song? Jesus, take the wheel. Amazing, amazing. Both of you were doing great then. Thank you so much. All right, now, I would like you to raise your hand if you consider yourself to be a good driver in the building. A good driver. Okay, some of you are straight up lying. There was a couple of people that put their hands up just then that were, you're wrong. I've been in cars with you. You are not good drivers. We'll pray for you later. Now, I consider myself a good driver. No, hear me out. Wait. No. Hear me out. A good driver with some blonde moments, if you will. So, oh, I did not. Okay, never mind. Didn't mean to open that can of worms. But I'm a safe driver, but I just have some silly qualms. Like, for example, one time I was in a car with Pastor Jackson and Ben Rainford. We were going to a church in the city, and I nearly hit one of their congregants in front of the church, nearly sent them to meet Jesus a bit early. But that's okay. They're good. All was well. Last week, I drove a van at church. We're in that Cronulla multi-level parking spot, and I'm parked next to a pillar. Totally forget the pillar's there, and it scratches all across the entire thing. Had to fill out an incident report. Port form and everything, but it was great. Even today, I was driving on like a motorway and I was gripping the wheel so tightly because it was 110 and everyone was overtaking me. It was terrifying. But what I've noticed with driving is that the more unpredictable the road is, the more different the situation is, the more tightly we grip onto the wheel, right? Because we want the control. Makes sense. Because we want to control the vehicle. We want to control where it's going. We want to make sure everything's all good. And there's kind of a parallel there with living a life with God, because there's three kind of postures you can take when you're living life with God. You can have two hands on the wheel, gripped tightly. God does not get a say. God's a backseat driver in this situation, and nobody likes backseat drivers. They don't get a say. And so you have total control of your life. You decide where you go. You decide where you steer. Second posture you can have, and I think this might be most people in the room, one hand on, one hand with God on, right? So you've got one hand on. So God makes the turns, God can make some decisions, but at the end of the day, if you don't like where you're going, if you're not comfortable with what's going on, you can rip that thing right back into where you're comfortable with. You can go the turn you want to go, you can make the route you want to go. You can say, God, what's your thoughts? That, okay, I don't really like that, so we're going to go this way, actually. And I think most people are there. How I desire to have two hands off the wheel and lifted to heaven, and saying, God, I trust you. God, this is your journey. God, you're my driver. God, I trust you with every decision. Could we get that verse back up for a second here? How I crave to have God trusting in the Lord completely, to not rely on my own opinions of where to go or what to do, to rely on him to guide me, to take me every turn, every decision that I make. How I desire to have both hands lifted to heaven and say, God, I trust you with this. But it's hard. So what I've realized is that the second I actually start gripping the wheel is the second I go off course. basically. The second I try and regain control over my life is the second that I go in the wrong direction, because I don't actually know how to outwork God's will. God does. And so he's the most qualified one to do it. Whenever I think I'm better at God at outworking his will, I fail spectacularly, often on a large scale. And I've come to realize that over serving God in any way, whether it be having a conversation about God with your friends, whether it be doing a massive uni essay, whether it be completing a task or outworking a vision, is that if I rely on human effort, natural thinking, human processes, human thought process, human, you know, all that stuff, I will end up reaping expected human results. That's how it works. I'll calculate what's the results going to be and I'll get it. But if I rely on God in his supernatural power, his supernatural thinking, his supernatural process, the results will be unexpected, surprising, and supernatural in nature. And you will be able to sit there and go, I cannot physically take credit for this because it was all God. And it's an incredible process. When I pray before I do anything, it goes better. When I let God prepare the words that come out of my mouth, specifically designed for groups of people, it is then that the atmosphere shifts. When I put myself in a position where if God doesn't come through, I'm screwed, then God moves most powerfully. That's when we rely on him. Because I want to be anointed, not just gifted. I want to be a vessel for God's glory and not my own. I want to be used for supernatural effectiveness, not effectiveness that I've calculated and worked out in my own intelligence. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must become greater, I must become less. It is my deepest desire that God living on the inside of me would have more say and more control over my life than my natural, cynical, jaded thinking. That when God supernaturally sees all my friends being saved by the love of God, I wouldn't see the fear. I wouldn't see the obstacles. That when God supernaturally sees miracle physical healings, I wouldn't have my eyes fixed on the diagnosis going, how are you going to do this? That when God tells me to step out in a supernatural faith, I wouldn't look at the natural obstacles. I wouldn't naturally cling to the safe zone. I wouldn't stick through the norm. And that when Romans 12:2 tells me not to conform to the patterns of this world, that I would not let one person on this earth pull me back into conformity. It's very simple. I want to live a life that is driven by human purpose, effort, ambition, or desire. I want God to use me to fulfill what it is he has destined for my life. Less of me, more of him. I don't believe any of us in the room will be truly satisfied until we are doing what it is that God has called us to do, what it is that God has put us on earth to do. And the only way that we can access those purposes is by trusting him completely, is by taking our hands off the wheel, is by relinquishing control from your life and saying, God, I trust you. God, I step out in faith for this, and just watch God move when he do. And you may be in the room and the concept of relinquishing control, surrendering, all so that God can take the wheel is a bit foreign, a bit weird to understand. It says in Matthew chapter 16 that whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. In other words, you have two options here. You can stay in the safe zone, you can live life like that, and you can try and find substitutes for God's purposes for your life. And you might be happy in the short term, but the long term, you're always going to be running after something else, always going to be running after something deeper. Or you can step out in faith, let go of the wheel, trust in God, let him decide every decision, everything you make, and watch God's purposes for your life unfold. Trust in the Lord. He is your guide. He's your private driver today. Stick tight to him, stay close to him, and you cannot take a wrong turn, church. It's incredible. He will lead you in every decision, every turn, wherever you may go. Amen, Jazz.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. What a point. What a song. Am I right? So good. Okay, so point number two. Our purpose is to pursue. So one thing to know about me, church, one thing about me is that I am a bit of a planner. I like to have my plan. I like to know where I'm going. I like to, you know, I'm going this direction and I'm taking steps. I'm always going in that direction, right? I'm a doer. And so what this meant when I was about 14, 15 years old, I decided that the world's best career for me, the highlight of my life was going to be, I was going to be a cake decorator. Yeah. I know, am I right? How cool was I? I was going to be a cake decorator. And so I knew this was my goal, this was my plan. And so I knew exactly how I was going to get there. I came home and I used to practice. I used to want to be Cake Boss. Has anyone seen Cake Boss? Yeah, that was going to be me. And guys, this is a little bit embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you just so you know the level of commitment I had to this. I even had business cards printed up. 15 years old. Started my own cake decorating business. Anyone's birthday, any event, I got you. I've still got drawers and drawers of cake decorating tools in my house because if you're going to do it, you got to do it well. Am I right? So there's this girl in the Bible. There's this story and I relate to it. She's a doer too. She's a planner. And it's a story of Martha and Mary and these two sisters. So Martha was invited Jesus into her house. And so Martha, as Jesus came into their house, these two sisters had very different reactions to the presence of God, presence of Jesus in their midst. So Martha gets busy, she gets working, she's serving Jesus. And Mary, the Bible says she seated herself at the feet of Jesus. She seated herself listening to Jesus, listening to his teaching, listening to his revelation. And then Martha goes up to Jesus and goes, Jesus, my sister's left me to do all the work by myself. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm doing all the work? She's just sitting there. She's not working towards anything. She doesn't have a plan. She's not serving you, right? And Jesus says to her in Luke 10, 41 to 42, he says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus didn't need Martha to serve him, to be busy, to get distracted in what it looked like to serve him. What Jesus wanted more than anything was for both of them to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be in his presence, to be sitting, living, listening to his revelation, to his word, to his teaching. Our purpose is to pursue the presence of God. Our main purpose in life, it's not serving God, it's to pursue his presence in everything we do. So often we can be like Martha and we can let ourselves get distracted by what's to come, what looks the future looks like, how I can serve Jesus, how I can, like me, I was going in a direction and I was distracted and I was heading this way. But what Jesus really wants from us, our main purpose is to pursue his presence in everything we do. If you hadn't guessed already, the cake decorating thing was a phase. Didn't last too long. So when I finished school and I went on a gap year and I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I still didn't know my future, my career, my plan. And so I used to go to God. I had this sense that God had a plan for my life, that he had a purpose, that he had something big. And so I used to go to God and I used to be like, you want to tell me what it is? You want to give me a clue? You know, at least tell me what I'm going to study at uni and then, you know, we'll work the rest out. Maybe you want to tell me what career it's going to be and I'll get a job in that field, you know, just so I can work towards it, just can take my steps. I'm going to, you know, don't you want this from me, God? Don't you want me to know where I'm going so that I can start to prepare? And every time I did that, church, God used to just speak to me and say, not yet. What I need from you is to learn how to be in my presence. What I need from you is to come and learn how to listen at my feet like Mary. What I need from you is to learn how to hear my voice, learn how to read my word, learn how to pray, bring God into every moment. And what I love so much about this verse in Proverbs 3:6, it says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. I love that it so clearly demonstrates what's our job and what's God's promise. What God needs from us and what he promises us. It's our job to become intimate with him in whatever we do. And he will lead us wherever we go. He will take you where you need to go. He will take you to your purpose. He will take you to your calling. In those times, he used to speak to me about what role I would take at work and would position me in places that were preparing me for my future. Even though I didn't know where I was going, even though I didn't know, he'd say, I'll lead you. Just listen to my voice. Just keep pursuing me. And it's so true. Even in every season, God always reminds me, this is what I need from you. I need you to come and sit at my feet. I need you to pursue my presence in everything you do. in everything you do. So can I encourage you, church, to keep pursuing his presence? I love that it says be intimate with him in everything you do. It's not just your quiet time in the morning. It's not just church on a Sunday, but actually coming to him in every moment, coming to him in conversations that you have with friends, in meetings that you have at work, and just bringing Jesus into every moment, learning how to be intimate with him. You know, we had our youth leaders summer retreat at the start of this year, and someone prayed a word over me, and it was about the promise of God over my life. And the word was, don't compare your promise to other people, don't look left to right, but know what your promise is from God. And so again, I took the word and I went to God, and I was like expecting to get more revelation, dream about what he had for me, about my purpose, about maybe my career, about the future. And again, I just felt God answer me, and he said, I'm your promise. In Psalm 16:5, it says, this is David saying to God, you are my portion and my cup. And that was the word that God gave to me. I am your promise. Life with me is your promise. It's not about your calling. It's not about your future. He'll lead you where you need to go. But it's actually about life with God is our promise. Keep pursuing him. Keep running after him. Find those moments to sit at his feet and just listen, to pursue him and to become intimate with him in everything you do. And you know what? As I was preparing for tonight, I just felt that there might be people in the room that you felt in the last season that it's just been a bit distracting. There's just been a lot going on, and maybe even you've taken that burden of having to figure it all out by yourself, that burden of having to get where God's called you to, and you've just felt that weight. And tonight, I just feel God saying to you that he will work that out. He leads us wherever we go. And what he requires from us, our one job, is to keep pursuing him in everything, is to keep running after him and being intimate with him in every moment. So can I encourage you tonight, church, that our purpose is to pursue God. Amen?
Oh, how good. Well, the point I'm going to be focusing on tonight, guys, is outworking his presence, point number three. And I'm going to be focusing on the part in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. So I'm going to focus on that and what that kind of looks like for me in my life and what it's looked like recently in the past. A lot of the things lately it's been connecting with friends. It's been honoring him in that area and being a better friend myself, and also making sure I'm surrounding myself with better friends. It's been an example practically to my family and my friends in the way that I act in the outside of the church world, inside the church world and everything. One of the convictions I had a while ago was cutting out swearing out of my life so that I could be an example to the people around me. The mullet, for example. So the mullet wasn't a spur of the moment decision. It wasn't, this might be fun and it's a bit of a trend at the moment, let's do it. I actually had, you know, God put the thought in my heart, and, you know, I was thinking about it for a while, and then one day Ben Rainford messaged me. He was like, dude, mullets? Yeah? Yeah, mullets? And I was like, dude, I've been thinking about that like for the past week and it's been on my heart. So it's these decisions that, you know, in your daily life that have been happening that God has been putting on my heart and outworking in. So there's a particular area that I want to talk to you about tonight, and it's at the start of the year, I got asked by my auntie to co-coach my cousin's under-15s women's soccer team. And initially, look, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't too excited about it. I was a bit like, there's, you know, plenty of better things I could be doing with my Saturdays. Like, I could go play soccer myself. Like, you know, why would I coach these girls that I don't even know? You know, and it wasn't until a couple months later, just before the season was about to start, where I was, you know, driving in my garage, multi-level garage, just going up each level, and I kind of just stopped on one of the inclines, and I was just, you know, God put the word in my heart. He's like, there's a reason that soccer team is like, there's a reason that position's available, there's a reason that, you know, that's become, it was offered to you. There's a reason that I actually placed that and have orchestrated this for you. And I was like, well, God, if that's the case, then I should do it right. And he replied, yes. And it wasn't just a reply of yes, it was, I had a peace about it. It was this complete sense over me that, you know what, this is the right thing for me to do right now. And I can't tell you enough how much of a blessing it has been coaching these girls and getting to know them, themselves, their parents. Like it's been a long 13 weeks. Something like they're 15-year-old girls, teenagers. You know, it's a challenge. And training them, you know, the ones that do show up and the attitude that you get sometimes, it's a bit like, why, God, why am I here? But it definitely makes it all worth it when you get to have a conversation with one of the girls about, you know, this one night she went out drinking and just what that made, how it made her feel and how I could relate to her and be like, you know, I can't help you right now, but I know someone that can, and I got to have this conversation with this 15-year-old girl about God in the middle of a soccer field on a Thursday night. Like, it was just the most random thing. But if it wasn't for that decision that I made, that this, you know, outpouring wouldn't have happened. This outpouring of, like, God's work in my life wouldn't have been able to affect this girl. It's this really random conversation that I had with my auntie and, like, two of her sons at, like, 3 a.m. in the morning after a training for, like, a 3-hour talk of what God did in my life and why it impacted me so much in a time that was so hard for me. You know, there was wisdom that I had that could overflow into their lives. And I can't tell you, this family, the auntie that asked this family, me, my siblings, everyone, it is the biggest mission of our family to get these people saved. Like, there is nothing else that would bring more joy to us than seeing this family saved, because we know how important it is and how much work and all the, like, just blessing is going to be once they are there and once they are saved. So this decision meant that I could outwork his presence, and these things just followed. So the story in the Bible that's, you know, similar to this, and it's in 1 Samuel, and it's David and Goliath. Now, I'm not going to focus on the part where David slays Goliath, which a lot of people focus on. The point I want to focus on is the decision he made to actually go and fight Goliath. Before he even killed him, before, you know, that happened, he made a decision. And it wasn't a spur of the moment. It wasn't, oh, you know, I'm a big guy. I can take him. The Bible tells us that Goliath was 3 meters tall. Like, that's, no one is going to, in their right mind, would go up to that and be like, you know what? I could do that. But we see in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, when David is before Saul. Saul has called him. He's like, you know, what's different about this guy? I want to have a chat with him. And David says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And it goes on to talk about how, you know, God has saved me from the lion. God has saved me from the bear. Who is this that, you know, can stand against him? So in my head, I like to think that when David was going to the river, picking up his stones, he was having a little chat with God, you know, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? Which stone should I choose? You know, which one's going to work? And that God said, it doesn't matter which stone, it doesn't matter what, it's because of me that you're going to do this, and it's because of me that you're going to win. And that God gave him a peace about this. So David had a decision to make. And it doesn't tell us whether he amenad, it doesn't tell us that, but I believe that he acted without hesitation. And it was because of this, and because he had spent time in God's presence, and spent time in the field, spent time, you know, soaking in it, and he knew God's voice, that he was able to act courageously, bravely, without hesitation. It was because of God's presence that he wasn't intimidated by Goliath. Yeah, so we see how David worked through God's presence and saw this situation be resolved. And the outpouring and overflow effect of that was Israel was saved. You know, we had the whole nation that was saved because this one man had spent time in the presence and knew God's voice and made a decision. So in every season, God is guiding us, he's speaking to us, and he's urging us to make those right decisions. He's putting godly future building options in front of you. The only challenge is making that decision, which sometimes can be challenging. But the part I want to focus on to finish off is in Proverbs 3 verses 9 to 10. And it says this, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Now, there's a reason that every time Pastor Brad gets up and says the highest form of Christianity is to be is to be blessed to be a blessing, the lowest form is to be blessed. There's a reason that I hold on to that so dearly every time he says it, is because it's so true. It is unbelievably true. And the overflow of what just being a blessing to others is like. There's a reason that I just love being so generous with my money, with my time, with, you know, anything. Just generosity makes my heart just so happy. There's a reason for all of these things, but it comes first from making that decision and spending that time in his presence and then outworking his presence because of those decisions. So good.
So good. Come on, can we give it up for Chris, Jazz, and James? Who's loving tonight? It's the best. So we have had point one, Jesus, take the wheel. We have had point two, our purpose is to pursue. And we have had point three, outworking his presence. So a few years ago, back when we could travel freely, I'm sorry to tease you all, but back when we could travel freely, Jake and I went on our first trip to America. We went to visit our family. Jake's brother lives over there with his wife and two little ones, and we went to visit them and actually go to their wedding at the time. And after that, we actually had booked a 10-day trip along the west coast of America, starting in San Diego, going to LA, and then going to San Fran. And so we, after the wedding, we hopped on a plane and we flew to LA. It was cheaper to fly to LA than straight to San Diego. And so we flew to LA. And so we did all the things that you could think of. We went to Disneyland. We went to Universal Studios. We went to Venice Beach. We went to Santa Monica Pier. We went in San Diego. If you haven't been, you've got to go when you can travel again. San Diego Zoo, San Diego Safari Park. It was the best. We went to Alcatraz in San Fran. We rode bikes across the Golden Gate Bridge. We had all the food you can imagine. We had, we lived up on the free drink refills. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it was the absolute best. But out of all of those wonderful things, if you ask Jake what his favorite part of this trip was, every single time without fail, he will say, the car we hired. Now, every man in the room, yep, give it up. Yep, absolutely. Now, see, I love driving, but I'm not too fussed about what it is. He, on the other hand, loves driving and he's very fussed about what it is. And so we flew into LA and unfortunately our flight was 5 hours late, which just did not get us off to a good start. But basically I left this whole element of the trip up to Jake. I left the whole researching of the car, you know, booking it, everything up to him. I literally knew nothing about it basically until we got there. I really trusted him because I just thought, he's so passionate about it, it'll all work out, right? So we get into LA airport 5 hours late and we needed to drive to San Diego, which is roughly just over 2 hours south. We were staying in Airbnbs, which is the first time we'd ever stayed in Airbnbs. So already my anxiety levels were quite high because I was like, you're not rocking up to concierge, you know, you're all on your own. You're left to your own defenses. And so I'm like anxious and we get to LA, we go get our bags and we go down to like this bus bay where a bus kind of valet service comes and takes you to where your car, like where you go get your car. All is well. I mean, I'm hungry because airplane food, am I right? And I'm a bit, you know, stressed about the Airbnb, but all is pretty well. And so we get there and we wait. We wait. We wait. Wait a little bit more. And we wait. And time goes on and it's getting later and later. And I'm like, surely a bus should be coming to get us. And, you know, we have a few kind of tense comments to each other. And I decide in this moment, it's the prime opportunity to research this car hire company. You know, now is probably the moment that I should get across the details of this car. And so I go and research this car to find bad review after bad review after bad review after bad review. And immediately my confidence in Jake delivering on this part of the trip just dropped, you know, really dropped. I'm thinking, what was he thinking? Like, he was so obsessed with the car that he wanted, he forgot to check the validity of this company. Like, we are like without a car in LA and need to get to San Diego. And so eventually a bus pulls around the corner with this weird, like, it's the logo of the company, but it's like real faint, real dodge. Like, it's like, are you them? I don't know, you know? Anyway, they pull over. They're like, yeah, we're this company, blah, blah, blah. Get on the bus. That I'm like, this is sus. Like, it like smells weird on this bus. There is just something not right about this whole thing. We go, we go downtown a little bit. We get to the car rental place and we pull in and it is very interesting. I'm talking flickering light, really weird, like, background waiting room music, one sales assistant in like 12 booths, weird like clinical vibes, but like not in the good way. It's just like, this is like not good. So we finally get served, we sign all of the paperwork, and I'm somewhat gaining a little bit more hope back to this situation. And with sales assistant comes with us, they're like, okay, come out this way, da-da-da, we walk out this door. And I'm praying in tongues under my breath at this point, because I'm like, I don't know what's out here. Like, this is weird, you know? We walk out to this huge warehouse. It looks like something out of Fast and Furious. And the sales assistant turns to Jake and I, and he says, sir, take your pick. And to our right was a red hot Dodge Challenger car. And lo and behold, he delivered and all was well. And so more often than not, I've actually found myself wrestling with dreams, desires, aspirations, and plans. And the fact that despite all of that, despite my best organizational skills, because if you know me, I'm light jazz, very organized. Despite all of that, God always seems to have a way of doing things better and arriving at the destination a better way. Things with God very rarely outwork themselves in the way that I want or thought that they would. But what I've come to learn is the best thing I can do is trust the hand of God. A few years ago, I got really sick. This is really gross and I'm sorry, but just go on the journey with me, okay? I got really sick with salmonella poisoning. And I just thought, salmonella poisoning, it's all good, you know. Just take some antibiotics, we'll be fine. Well, no, that's not what happened. And basically, I would just kept being sick and sick and sick and sick. And I got to the point where I lost sensation in my hands. That was the first thing that was just like red flag right there. And I had to go to a neurologist and I couldn't like differentiate. Like, I'd put my hand in my handbag and I couldn't differentiate items. It was really weird. Went to a neurologist, went to naturopaths, went to colorectal surgeons, went to gastroenterologists, all the gists. I went to them, all the gists. And you name it, I saw it. And eventually, a little while later, about a year or so later, I got the paperwork to go for my first colonoscopy. And what should have just been a routine procedure, turned out that I came out, I woke up, and the surgeon came out to me and they said, Jess, I just need to let you know, we've actually found Crohn's disease in your bowel. And at that point, I didn't know what it was. But what I soon found out later was that my dreams, my aspirations, my desires were dramatically altered. And if you don't know what Crohn's is, basically it's an inflammation of your gut or your bowel. There's a lining, giving you a little bit of a doctor's, I don't know, whatever you call it. Any doctors in the room? I'm probably not going to do it justice, so I apologize. But there's a lining in your gut and in your bowel that actually absorbs the nutrients from food when you eat it and digest it. But the lining also protects your body from bad antibodies, right? And so every single person in the room, you have a healthy, what we call inflammation markers, healthy range of inflammation markers. And the healthy range for any average person is between 0 and 50. My first test was over 2,000. And basically what it meant was is that I was weak, I was fatigued, I was just like depressed to a point, because it just affects your ability to be mobilized and do things. So you just become like inward. And I had a few complications, which obviously didn't help me get to a state of remission, what they call remission. So there's no technical cure in the human world for Crohn's. But what they say is that you can get to a place of remission. And where basically it means it just lays dormant kind of in your system. And so I had all these complications, and I guess the worst of it was the fact that I would, every time I would go to the bathroom, I would just cry. I would cry and I would bite onto my clothes or whatever I had to just stop myself from screaming, because the pain, the discomfort every time I ate, the whole process, like, it just ruined me. And I remember I was driving with my mum one day, and I was saying to her, you know, Mum, like, she's the best. She's a lover of God, and every time I'd speak to her, you know, she prays for me. As soon as I get on the phone, she's praying in tongues over me. I'm like, Mom, stop, I'm calling to say hi. you know, she's sending me scriptures, and it's awesome. When she'd send them to me, to be honest, I didn't read half of them because I was so angry. I was so mad at God. I was like, why is this my reality? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, but I remember driving with her, and I remember saying, I'm just asking her, because she's always so faithful, always so positive, always so encouraging. And I say, Mom, like, how are you so sure that I'm going to be okay? Like, how are you so sure that this is going to be all right? And first of all, she turned to me, she's like, Mom. Oh, she's like, Jess, I'm your mom. It's my job. But secondly, she placed a hand on my leg and she just said, Jess, God spoke to me when you were a little girl and he just said, he will protect you and always keep you safe. And 9 times out of 10, when I go to God, when I become intimate with him, really funnily enough, and more recently than before, the thing I hear him say to me the most, the first thing that he'll whisper to me is, Jess, I have you in the palm of my hands. Jess, I have you in the palm of my hands. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. It goes on in verse 8 to say, then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. In December last year, I went for my routine specialist appointment with my Crohn's doctor. And as every appointment, I was always hoping for better results. I wasn't expecting it that much this time because, like, I'd just been to America again and I'd eaten a lot of bad food. So I wasn't super, like, expecting it. But he turns to me and he says, Jess, your inflammation markers are 6.9. You are officially in remission. And I had a little party. And the funny thing was, is like, he didn't even say it like that. I was like, you could have like played it up for me a bit more, you know? Like, I literally turned to him and I go, so I'm in remission. And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, you could have led with that, but thanks. And so I got told I'm fully in remission. And you know, throughout all this disease has inflicted on me, throughout all that it's taken from me, God has been my comfort. He has been my refuge. He has been my strength. He has been my joy. He has been my prize, my pleasure, my portion. He has held me in the palm of his hands, and he has reassured me time and time again that he will lead me, that he'll heal me, and he'll refresh me. Now, I certainly haven't had the faith all the time to trust the hand of God. But in my weakness, he is made strong. And where I have lacked faith, he has never lacked faithfulness, never. And so tonight I want to pray. I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, and we're going to do a couple of things. First of all, I want to give everybody in the room an opportunity tonight. Because for as long as I can remember, I've known what it is to become intimate with God. I've known what it is to hear his voice. I've known what it is to be standing in the face of giants, in the face of disease, in the face of rejection. But know that I am not overwhelmed, and know that he has me in the palm of my hands, of his hands, sorry. And so maybe tonight, as we've been preaching, you've been asking yourself, do I have a relationship with God like that? Do I have a relationship with God where I know without a shadow of a doubt that he holds me in the palm of his hands? And if you're being completely honest, the answer is no. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to pray a prayer that gives you the opportunity to step into a relationship with God just like that. And so, church, we're going to pray together. I want you to repeat after me. Dear God, come on, let's pray. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for my sins and rose to life again. I'm so sorry for my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. I ask you to transform my life and give me your Holy Spirit to lead me all my days. Thank you for your unlimited goodness and grace over my life. with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you pray that prayer tonight for the first time, or you prayed that prayer, and just as I said before, you know that for a really long time, you haven't had that type of relationship with God that we've been talking about tonight. I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm looking, and just one or two other leaders are looking with me because we want to celebrate this decision. So if that's you, just pop up your hand so I can see it, I can acknowledge it, and then I just want to pray for you. So good. Yeah, great. Anybody else? You just know. You know in this, in your spirit, you know in your gut that you need to accept Him tonight. Father God, I just thank You. God, I thank You for that decision. God, I thank You that from tonight forward, that that person is going to know that they are held by You, Jesus, that they are going to walk the rest of the days of their lives in relationship with You, Jesus. God, we just bless that person. God, we just ask that You would pour out Your love, pour out Your grace, pour out Your goodness. And we just thank You that they've made the best decision of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate that decision tonight? How good. So good.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.